The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, a warning that the next item refers to issues of sexual violence which may be triggering and not suitable for all listeners. Now, Channel 4 has said very serious allegations of wrongdoing, including rape, have been made against a small number of past participants in the reality TV series Married at First Sight. It's a reality TV show where strangers start a marriage-like relationship with each other, meeting only minutes before the ceremony and then going on honeymoon and subsequently living with each other in an apartment before ultimately deciding whether or not they'll continue their relationship. In response to the allegations brought to light by the BBC, the UK government has said all the allegations must be investigated and there are consequences for criminality or wrongdoing. Channel 4 have removed all previous seasons of the show from its streaming platforms. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Jacobs Johansson, an Associate Professor of Communications at St. Mary's University in London. Dr. Johansson, what is your reaction to these very serious allegations?
I think it's important to say that these are allegations at the moment, so there is an investigation being announced by Channel 4. It looks like this also will need to be reported to the police, so we obviously have to wait until all of that has been concluded. At the same time, I think we need to take these three allegations seriously, and I'm not surprised that they have happened or that they've been, that those women have come forward.
Why do you say that?
We know that reality television and these kinds of formats in particular, like Married at First Sight, often a proper kind of standard of ethical treatment, care is lacking. There is a whole question around when it comes to how are participants treated, you know, during filming, for example. Are participants properly vetted or investigated before they are being recruited to be on a particular show? So we've seen lots of allegations happening before, so it's not surprising in a way that something like this has now sort of repeated itself.
The production company has said the welfare system was gold standard. What do you make of that assertion?
It's difficult to fully respond to that because, of course, we don't know all the facts. So there is the production companies have particular guidelines and kind of ethics procedures and all of that. There have been also lots of improvements over the last decade or so following various scandals, but it looks like we're not quite there yet when it comes to sort of ethical treatment. At the same time, I think it is also important to say that in this particular case, we're dealing with accusations of criminal behavior. Unfortunately, we can never fully eliminate criminal behavior or kind of toxic behavior like that, even though if we wanted to.
Is there just a fundamental problem with this program from the very start? I mean, I heard the chair of the House of Commons media committee saying people who had just met immediately become very intimate. They're expected to share a bed and a life together within minutes of meeting. And she said it was an accident waiting to happen. Was it an accident waiting to happen? Do you think that's correct?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an accident waiting to happen because it's that kind of it almost makes it inevitable. But where I fully agree is that I think that it is a very problematic show. It is a very problematic idea. We know that life doesn't work like that. We know that real life doesn't work like that. Nobody kind of marries at first sight and then sort of reproduces some kind of behavior, mimics the behavior that we see in this show. So it's very kind of detached from reality. And audiences, of course, know that as well. At the same time, the show is really, really popular. It's very successful. I think we need to ask ourselves, as viewers, whether we are a little bit complicit in reproducing very kind of sensationalist shows like that by continuing to consume these kinds of programs.
It's a fair question. There is another show at the moment, and I'm not drawing comparisons between the two, because obviously there's allegations of criminal activity in relation to Married at First Sight. But there's another one in terms of that exploitative claim. I think it's called Virgin Island, where virgins are interviewed. And I have to admit, I haven't seen the program. I wouldn't watch it. But there are issues of taste. There are issues of decency. Like, does reality TV, do they care about the contestants, or is it just about ratings?
I think yes and no. I think we can't fully compare Married at First Sight to Virgin Island. Virgin Island has been sort of discussed by reviewers, something that is at least it's sort of a bit more nuanced. There is more complexity in how those particular participants are portrayed. It takes more care. I think there is a question here for any reality program. Participants never fully kind of know what they're getting themselves into. Of course, they are aware, they are being told, they're being briefed, all of that. But then often it is a different reality once you are you appear in front of a camera, and we know that that can often be quite stressful for participants and things like that. So we do need to continue to have a conversation, I think, around the ethics of reality television. The other argument that's often made, and I think that is an interesting one that we need to take into consideration, is that reality television is a form of very authentic television. It's very relatable in a way. It shows real people, right? It might not necessarily show real life, but it shows real, relatable, authentic individuals. That is why it's so successful as a genre. And that can be quite meaningful. That can be quite interesting. It can be quite relatable for audiences. So I wouldn't want to kind of dismiss it outright as a genre.
Obviously, I think the seriousness of this story means, though, that changes will have to be made. How fundamental will those changes be? I mean, could this be the beginning of the end of reality TV? Or I'm guessing you don't think it will be.
I don't think it will be, because it's just too popular, and it is also a relatively kind of cheap way of making money for production companies or TV channels. So it's not going to go away. We also, of course, know of this whole sort of pipeline between reality television, social media, influencers, and all of that kind of complex. None of that is going to go away. But I think we should hope and we should demand that changes need to happen, and that greater care needs to be taken when it comes to betting and things like that.
I'm skeptical, Jacob, because I just think ultimately ratings always trump welfare. That's my fear. So I'd be skeptical about change. Am I being too skeptical?
Well, we have seen great improvements already, partly driven, we had a UK parliamentary inquiry on reality television a couple of years ago. That has kind of led to some change. We have seen great change, for example, when we a slightly different area, but nonetheless in the media, when we take the example of intimacy coordinators, for example, fictionalized in film and TV on sets and things like that, something that would have been unthinkable some years ago, and it's becoming more and more kind of standard industry practice. So I think we shouldn't feel too hopeless when it comes to the potential for change.
Okay, Dr. Jacob Johansson, Associate Professor of Communications at St. Mary's University in London. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
Thank you.
If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in that interview, help is available. You can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre on the National 24-Hour Helpline. The free phone is 1-800-77-8888.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Hey,
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.